The upcoming August primary ballot will feature something not usually seen on August primary ballots, a statewide ballot proposal. We haven't seen that in August since 2002. This proposal would determine the fate of a reform of Michigan's industrial personal property tax. But there is a pretty significant hurdle backers have to face, that icky little three-letter word, tax. Chris Gouts is a reporter for Crane's Detroit Business. Chris, what would this ballot proposal do if it's passed in August?
Well, it would allow for a significant reduction in business taxes, and it would also ensure a dedicated funding stream for local communities, so especially those that are, almost in some cases solely dependent, and in some cases are, quite largely dependent on this tax revenue, to make them whole, because it draws in revenue from a variety of sources, and that's actually what the language of the ballot proposal is about. It's not about repealing the tax that's already been done. Mm-hmm. And what this is doing is creating the funding mechanism, and part of that is going to be from a further assessment on businesses that already pay a personal property tax, but obviously at a much reduced level now. And then it also redirects a portion of the state's use tax, which is the tax that in some cases nobody pays when they buy something on Amazon, but it also brings in revenue in other areas. And then it also will direct money that previously was going to tax credits for certain businesses that largely came about during the Granholm administration, for different things, battery credits and things like that, some of the mega credits that will soon expire, and then that money will then be freed up to apply to this.
Just for a sense of context, especially for folks who aren't involved in business per se, remind us what that personal property tax was. How did it work and why was it repealed?
It's basically, for a lot of manufacturers, it's a tax on all of their personal property. So, and this goes to another problem that supporters are having with the taxes, because it's worded really poorly. It's personal property. So when people see it, they think personal property, that must mean me.
That must
be my house
or
property that I have in my house. It's not that at all. It's the property that businesses have in their location. So it could be, a mill or a lathe or even a desk or a computer. And so businesses have to go around every year and they have to, look at everything that they have, and then they put it on the sheet, and then the tax assessor comes in and takes a look at it. And then they have a depreciation schedule that goes down. But the property never completely depreciates. So they're always paying tax. So, Charlie Pride from Ford was sort of joking that, my boss's grandfather, still has the property that he paid sales tax on when he bought it at Ford and all these other manufacturers. And they're still having to pay, albeit a very reduced amount of tax, they're still having to pay tax on each piece of property that they have. And so a lot of businesses see this as sort of a double taxation. They already pay tax when they bought it as sales tax, and then they just continue to have to pay this personal property tax on those pieces of equipment into perpetuity. And so no other state in the Midwest has such a tax except for Indiana, and it's at a much reduced rate, and at some point in time the tax actually goes away. So unlike Michigan's, which is basically forever. So this was something that they've always wanted to do. Governors in the past have always hated us. They've always wanted to find a way to get rid of it. The problem is that communities are just so dependent on it that they couldn't figure out the funding mechanism, and now they have. And so that's now where we're at now, is to try to get the public to buy into this and agree to support the change.
So why is this not on the November ballot?
That's a very good question. And I asked, different lobbyists and lawmakers that were involved in this, the reason why, and I have a guess, and it was sort of confirmed by the folks that I talked with, but nobody could really put a good figure on it. But this all came about during the lame duck session of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And if we remember anything from that lame duck session, it's right to work.
That was the
guy, all the headlines. But it was a few days after that they passed this elimination of the personal property tax. It went way late into the morning. They finally got enough votes and cobbled it together before they all went home for the year. And my guess, and it was backed up by a few people that I talked with, my guess is that they put it on the August 2014 ballot back then, because it would have only been a month or so removed from the situation we saw on that previous November's ballot, where we had five constitutional amendments and they all failed.
Mm.
And when you have so many things on a November ballot, people there was a very successful Just Say No campaign that even, you know, the governor and other individuals were trying to get rid of, you know, Just Say No to the union proposal and to the clean energy proposal and the bridge proposal. And so I think there's probably some fear that if we put it on the November ballot, it might get swept up into whatever might come under this November's ballot. And there's actually going to be as many as 8 proposals on the November ballot. So by putting it in August, you keep it to itself. And you're also having a much smaller and a more committed group of voters that come out for the August primary. So you're looking at a smaller audience you have to target.
Okay. Now I know supporters, as you write about in Crane's Detroit Business, supporters are really having to wrestle with the way that lawmakers wrote this ballot proposal. How many times is the word tax or taxes used?
Eight different times. and it sort of goes to the complexity, not that this is any sort of scientific measure, but I think it counted more than 24 words that have more than 3 syllables. So, I mean, if you just kind of look at it, it's just very clunky, a lot of big words. And so for people that are just looking at this, you would have no idea what this means because it also doesn't include the phrase personal property tax.
Hmm.
So it's kind of clunky, it's confusing, and that's sometimes what you get when lawmakers put this language together and not the Department of Elections.
And the clock is really ticking. I mean, they've got something like 3 months left. So what are the supporters doing to mount their campaigns? What's different in the campaign for this proposal that we might see from a typical ballot proposal?
Well, I think that's what's really interesting, and Jessica Rossa, who's helped run the campaign on the PR side, made the point that this is really not a traditional statewide campaign. You can't have the governor and, you know, maybe the mayor of Detroit standing in front of the cameras on the TV commercial saying, you know, vote for this, this is good. They don't have any connection, really. So in order for this to win, they're really having to dig down into the grassroots, and they've got more than 700 members of different organizations. It's labor groups, it's businesses, local chambers, police and fire, their unions, their members, community organizations, all supporting this. And so they're all reaching out to their members to try to make the case that this is a really good thing. And so you're probably likely to see TV ads and direct mail pieces that will feature your local sheriff, your local fire chief, your mayor. So they're really trying to make a personal connection in local editorial boards and in local stories that they hope to get printed in local newspapers, the ones that are remaining, to try to make the case that, you know, this is a good thing. People that local business owners are going to appear in these ads. You know, trust us. You know, this is going to work. This is going to be good for everyone. And so that's the real difference. And so that obviously takes more time and more money to make all those connections and do this kind of thing. Luckily, there was a concern early on that some of the municipal organizations were going to oppose this. And so the business group started stockpiling a healthy fund in order to combat that if they needed to. And so they already have about $5.5 million to spend on this campaign in thinking that they were going to have to fight an organized opposition. Well, they don't have to now. So all that money now can be used into educating voters, and that's really what they're doing now. And you'll probably start to see some of those advertisements in the next month because this is a primary ballot, which means that you're going to have a lot of older voters, and a lot of those voters tend to vote absentee. So about 40 to 40% is estimated. Voters are going to vote absentee, and they're going to start getting their ballots mailed to them sometime mid to late next month. So they're really trying to make sure that people see this language in some of these advertisements and direct mail pieces pretty quickly. So in the next couple of weeks, you might see some things in your mailbox about from the Michigan Citizens for Strong and Safe Communities.
Well, what if this falls short, Chris? What happens if this ballot proposal gets defeated in August? Then what?
Well, that's another good question. And I think that also goes to another reason that they put this on the August ballot as opposed to November. Because if it were to fail, it does give them a few more months in which to sort of regroup and figure something out. Maybe they could do something legislatively where they find another way to do this that wouldn't require a vote at the ballot. Or it would just, you know, give local assessors and businesses, you know, time to sort of regroup and say, okay, we're going to have to pay this tax again for another year. And so I'm sure that there are contingency plans, but, you know, the optimists that are running the campaign aren't trying to spend a whole lot of time talking about what happens if it fails. They just, that they're making the case that this is going to be good because, you know, communities are relying on personal property tax If a business were to leave tomorrow, you know, that's a huge cut to their local budget. And so they're making the case here that if you do it this way, you no longer have to worry about, you know, if maybe, like, remember when Electrolux left Greenville, it decimated their local budget. You know, if this system were in place, that wouldn't have happened because there would have been a dedicated funding stream for that. That loss wouldn't have impacted them. So that's another case that they're making, is that, you know, please support this. This is going to be good for everyone.
Looking ahead to the personal property tax reform ballot proposal that we will be seeing on our primary ballots in August. So thank you so much, Chris Gouts with Crane's Detroit Business. Always good talking with you, Chris. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.